We will.
We just pause there.
We will blank. Hi, everyone. Welcome to the Jason Mason Power Hour.
Delivering you an hour of content in 30 minutes or less. Otherwise, it's free.
My name is Jason.
And I'm Mason. This is our TV to tabletop series where we talk about TV shows
that are trying to sell you toys. All right, hear me out, Mason. First one, Bakugan.
All right, tell me more.
Let's see. First of all, Mason, in Bakugan, we're only talking about first gen. That's mainly my childhood.
Gen 1?
Yes, Gen 1. In Gen 1, that encompasses the original Bakugan Battle Brawlers all the way to the series Mectanium Surge. So, there's three things you need to know to play Bakugan, right? You need the Bakugan, the little marbles, those are the characters, the gate cards, and the ability cards. The game is played in rounds. Each round, you and your opponent are going to roll a Bakugan at the same time on the gate card. So you start, both you set one down opposite of each other, and then you roll, right? Repeat this, right? If you land together, you battle. If not, you just roll again, new one, until you get Bakugan that, you know, meet up against each other. You're going to repeat this basically until three battles are won.
Okay, three battles. You have to win all three, or do you just best like three out of however many you need to do?
So it's three out of five, right? You need to win three gate cards. So you've got two options of battle. Either the standard, you roll one and your opponent rolls one on the same one and you duke it out. Or because it's a kid's game with marbles, where you have to actually get the marbles onto the card, if you get two of your Bakugan on one card before the opponent can get one on there, you automatically win that card.
Okay, so it's best three out of five. You're trying to win three battles or gain three gate cards. Now, how do these Bakugan look? I know that they're marbles and they pop open into little monsters, but I want to know the real details. Let's say, like, I'm a kid and I want to get into Bakugan. And I really want to get into it.
Mm-hmm.
What do I need to know?
All right, well, you got to go back in time.
Fair.
2007, when they were in the stores, if you want to play Gen 1 version. Surprisingly, with all the reboots, they're still in stores, so you can get the newer versions, but those are different rules. This is Gen 1. But if you go back to that time, basically, you need to go to a store, you need to buy either a single pack, which had one Bakugan, one gate card, and one ability card, which typically corresponded to the one you bought, a three-pack, which has like a super cool one that was in the anime, and two other supporting ones, basically, if it was in the anime, and then cards that corresponded to those, or you got like the big battle box, which was like six Bakugan, gate cards, and ability cards.
How many do I need if I'm just like a kid who wants to play, and his friends has Bakugan, and his brother's got Bakugan, and just needs some Bakugan?
Right. To play the game, you need three Bakugan, three gate cards, and three ability cards.
Okay, that's a pretty reasonable amount. That sounds pretty good. Yes. Now, how do I choose my Bakugan?
So, your Bakugan, the appeal of it was that in Bakugan, there's six different types, right? It's basically, you know, like Pokemon, if you think about it. You got fire, water, wind, earth, light, and darkness. And those ones are Pyrus for fire, Aquas for water, Ventus for wind, Subterra for earth, Darkus for dark type, and Chaos for light.
Okay, all right. Some of those names seem pretty familiar to me.
Mm-hmm.
How do I know my Bakugan is dark or fire type or what?
So typically, the color scheme of the Bakugan will correspond with the element. There's also a symbol on it that matches the individual element.
Okay, so let's say I love water. Get myself an Aquas Bakugan. Is that like a blue theme?
Yes. Typically, it's associated with the color. So what? Pyrus is red. Aquas is blue. Ventus is green. Subterra is brown. Chaos is white. And Darkus is black. So the design will typically be that color and a secondary color, either like gold or black.
Okay, cool. So I get myself some Bakugan.
Mm-hmm.
Do I want to choose all of the same color, all of different color? Well, not colors. In this case, they are colors that are related to types.
Yeah.
All different types, all the same type, or is that like a strategy thing?
That's completely up to the user. It's a strategy thing of, do you want to, it's like deck building. Do you want a deck that focuses on specifically that element, so you have your ability cards that all work together, or you can go wide, have different attributes, and then your cards will match. So it's all dependent on how you want to play.
Well, how does this relate to the ones from the show? So, like, right. I'm a kid. I love the anime, right? Mm-hmm. Bakugan, best anime ever, as far as I know.
Yes.
And I'm like, that one, I don't actually know any of the anime names. So whichever one is the cool one, how do I get that guy?
Yeah. So typically, you just go back in the day, every store sold them. Some stores would have exclusive ones to those. But in the anime, each character, to make it simple for the kids, each character had their favorite type or attribute, and they would only use that color. So if you want to match them, you would grab the same color, and you would match their playstyle.
Okay, so if I'm like Johnny, I don't know if this is a real character, I just made up that name. Johnny, he loves fire Bakugan. Pyrus is his thing.
Yeah.
I want to be like him. I'm only going to buy red ones.
Yes. In like the 3-packs, typically they were sold like that, where it was the same color. In like the big packs, it would be like 6, one of each color.
Okay, interesting. So then, now I've got my tie into the show, and I know which one I want. Let's talk about an example Bakugan. What's like the big famous one?
Right. The main character, Dan Kuso, who is the big main character, he had a Pyrus Dragonoid.
Okay, that sounds sick. Yeah. I want that one. How do I get it?
So you would buy the Dragonoid pack. So either you would buy the single one with Dragonoid, or because it was in the show, it would be like the main seller of the 3-pack.
Okay, cool. So I can just buy Dragonoid because, you know, Dan Kuso is my favorite character in the anime. I want his Bakugan.
Yes, but with the smaller ones, so like one of them is a centipede. So the cool thing, it would open out flat like a centipede. That one, it was released in 6 colors. Like the less popular ones, you had to kind of like find it in the pack.
Okay, so really popular ones, easy to find. Everyone on the block has one.
Yes.
But the more niche choices, the ones that aren't attached to any of the main anime characters, you know, the sub-character choices, hard to find.
Yes.
Okay, cool. So let's move forward. I have my Bakugan. Dragonoid's definitely one of them. That centipede guy's the other. And I have some third one. Yeah. How do I choose my gate cards? What is the purpose?
Yes. So the fun thing going back was none of the kids knew how the rules worked, right? So it turns out, so the gate cards had 3 different versions. You had the silver cards, which were basic, just attributes. Gate cards in general were when you land 2 Bakugan on them, you flip it to battle. On the side, it'll be plus or minus stats based on your attribute.
Okay, so I've got my fire type Dragonoid, Pyrus Dragonoid.
Yes.
And I roll it. My opponent is playing some random sub-Terra, Earth type.
Yes.
And we both land on a card.
Mm-hmm.
And then if it's my card, I probably chose a gate card that'll help my fire types.
Yes.
And we'll flip it over, and it'll reveal if it's a silver border, just like plus 100 to fire types or something. Yes.
So I'm showing you a picture. So on the left side of the card, it has all 6 attributes, and it'll have a number. That's how much you up their G power, which is how you calculate combat.
Okay, so I'm looking at this card, and it's a bunch of circles with numbers in them of the different colors. So my little Bakugan and my opponent's little Bakugan land on the card, which is face down. Then we turn it over to reveal the numbers. And so if I have a Dragonoid and he has some other thing, we look at whatever color our number is. We add it to our little Bakugan's G power. Mm-hmm. What does the G stand for in G power?
The show never explained it. I'm sorry to tell you.
I want to go with Giga. That seems like a very 2000s thing.
Yes, sir.
So we compare it. We add it together. A little math. A little math is good for children, I guess. And then whoever has the higher number wins the battle.
Yes.
If you win the battle, you just pick your Bakugan back up. What happens?
Your Bakugan will go into the used pile.
That sounds bad, but okay.
So then you would have to use the other two. Otherwise, you would just keep cycling the same one.
Oh, I see. You must use all 3. It's not like Pokemon where I can just be like, I'm only going to use my starter and all the other ones are essentially backup dancers.
Yes. It was not like that at all.
Okay, so that's cool. And so then what happens to the gate cards? Does it stay face up?
It goes off the field and you put it in like your win pile.
Oh, that's how you track the wins.
Yes.
Okay, I like it. So gate cards, you bring some and your opponent brings some. And so your field is essentially a mixture of them.
Yes.
Okay, so you're trying to aim for your gate mm-hmm. cards.
Yes, that's correct.
Okay, cool. Now, you were talking earlier about ability cards. Where do those come in?
So you would come in with three ability cards. They're typically either associated with that specific Bakugan. So it's basically either a power-up, some kind of action, you know, or just a general, like, you know, just generic power-up.
Okay, so they are like additional things I can add to my Bakugan's G power.
Yes.
So I roll my Bakugan, it lands on a gate. They roll their Bakugan, lands on the same gate. We flip over the gate, we count up our numbers. Uh-oh, I'm going to lose. But luckily, I have an ability card that will just give my Bakugan plus 200 or something. Mm-hmm. Okay. Who can play the ability when?
So once it's flipped, both players can play the card. So it's up to them once the math is added up, then it doesn't matter. Or like there's no like I got their first order. It's one person plays a card and then the other player can play one in response.
Okay. So potentially each of you can play one ability card.
Yes.
And you only show up with three ability cards.
Yes.
So you'll run out of those.
Yes. That's where the strategy comes in. Because you might use a power-up that you could still lose in the battle.
That makes sense. I see, because you could have five battles, you know, best 3 out of 5. And if you use all your ability cards early, you're going to be sad those last two battles.
Exactly.
Okay. So, quick summary here. I buy my Bakugan. I just go to the Target or big box stores, or is this a niche item? I need to go to a game store.
It was sold in everywhere, big box stores, game stores.
Okay, so I go to Target, buy my Bakugan, just a 3-pack. I'm ready to play then, essentially, right?
Yes.
3 Bakugan, 3 gate cards, 3 ability cards. That's pretty smart, just ready to play right out of the box.
Yes. And the fun thing is, you can, because it's kind of like a tabletop game, you can just place it anywhere, but they also sold, like, arenas where it had, like, the sides fenced off, so then you could get more fancy moves, like you can wall bounce to get it on.
Oh, I see. So if I was bad at marbles, I could buy essentially bumpers for it.
Yes.
That's hilarious.
Yes. And that was one way they used to sell toys, but also change it up where some battlefields had ramps and stuff. So you literally had like a terrain difference to vary up the game.
How common was that? Is that like part of my local meta? Myself and my other friends who all bought Bakugan, we show up and then Jimmy on the block, he's like, guys, I bought this new arena. Are we all like, let's try it? Or are we all like, that sounds like cheating, Jimmy. Get good at marbles.
Well, it depends on your circles. Some circles were like, Jimmy was the rich kid. We're going to ask Jimmy's parents to buy the battlefield. But typically people just played it flat surface, just roll.
Okay.
If you suck, you suck.
All right. So then me and my friends, we all get together. We play some Bakugan, win 3 out of 5. Once you're done with that, is that pretty much it? You're like, I've bought my Bakugan. We play every once in a while. Or is there like a kind of additional collector's draw to this game?
That was an interesting thing. So as the show went on, they would introduce new mechanics and like new types, because it all starts with a marble. So in season 1, it was just the basic marble, right? At the bottom of it, it's got a little magnet strip. It rolls on the magnetic gate card. It opens. Later on in the second series is where they introduce new stuff. They introduce stuff like traps, which is non-circle geometric, 3D geometric shapes.
I'm sorry. So how am I, instead of a Bakugan,
yes,
I can roll a trap.
So you would play the trap. This was how they got you, right? You bought the Bakugan, and then they added in the rules. You can add this support piece called a trap.
So we're out on the playground, presumably, playing Bakugan. And I roll my Bakugan, and it hits the little magnetic card and pops open, and I'm feeling great.
Yes.
And then my opponent's like, joke's on you. I'm not rolling a Bakugan. Mm-hmm. I've got this new other piece called a trap. Yes. And how do they play it?
So the trap is similar to another ability card where you're in a battle, right? if you and your opponent are on one gate card, you would just say, I'm going to use my trap here. And the trap just gives you extra ability power. You just add the two.
I see. So it doesn't replace the Bakugan roll.
Yes.
So I roll mine. They roll their Bakugan. Mm-hmm. They both pop open. It's quite glorious.
Yes.
And then I'm like, I win because my number is higher. And they're like, I have a trap instead of an ability card.
So, that yes, the trap is a support piece that you can use. And then, in addition to an ability card in the fight.
So I could use a trap and an ability card.
So that's how they got you in Season 2. If you didn't have the trap, you were just at disadvantage.
You're just going to lose.
Yes.
If every kid comes to the playground and they've got three ability cards and how many traps can you bring?
It was one trap.
And one trap. That's four ways they can boost. Yes. And you have your three ability cards.
Yes.
And you're going to lose. You're going to lose hard.
Yes.
Oh, well, what happened in Season 3? What did they add there?
So the other thing is, in the show, their G powers kept scaling. You know, like just any anime power scaling. That's also how they got you, was the base on the Bakugan kept going higher. So you had to buy the new ones, or you're literally just at disadvantage of older Bakugan.
Power creep at its finest.
Yes.
So I'm playing Bakugan.
Mm-hmm.
My parents bought me Gen 1, or
yes.
I'm sorry,
yeah,
Season 1.
Yeah, season 1.
First series, Season 1 Bakugan from Target. I'm having a great time. My friends start showing up with traps. I'm like, yo, what's this about? That's kind of uncool.
Yes.
And then next season, they have the same Bakugan. They're just 100 points more powerful.
Yes.
That is pretty messed up.
Yeah. That's how they got you to buy the new toys, though. If you wanted to be competitive, you got to buy the new.
Wow. Well, oh, there's that, I guess. Okay, yeah. So I'm buying Bakugan pretty regularly because I want to keep up with power creep.
Yes.
I'm getting traps. I'm buying ability cards.
Yes.
And in the, let's say, end of the day, final number, how many Bakugan are you really kind of collecting? You're kind of giving a lot, right? What are you talking about, 10, 12?
Depending on what you want. The other thing is, you know, you have the different different attributes, you know. Because it's kind of like if you were playing Magic, you had one play style, you have a certain set of cards you want to buy from, you want to change your play style, you got to buy a whole another set of cards.
Yeah, for listeners who don't understand why that Magic tangent just existed there, that's because I am addicted to Magic the Gathering.
Right.
My whole life, it kind of revolves around it. So anything that Jason introduces me to kind of must be explained in a simile or a metaphor related to Magic. So that's why at the beginning, when he told me that the different types are related to colors, that I just immediately knew what he was talking about.
Yeah.
When he talked about cards, he told me, you know, this is before the podcast, little intro show, he told me about the cards beforehand. I was like, oh, I get it. It's like an instinct.
Yes. So also, I didn't introduce it because if you know Mason, you know Magic.
It's true. All right, so end of the day.
Yes.
I'm showing up with my three Bakugan. I got a collection of like 10 or 12,
yeah,
a couple of different teams that I'm ready to play with.
Mm-hmm.
And we play the game, best 3 out of 5, gate cards are going. How did this show sell me this? Am I watching the TV show and also playing the game and they're kind of unrelated? Or am I watching the show every week like Pokemon and the whole show is just like, oh, this is how you play the game?
It was like 70% the same. In the show, they would be battling it out and be more dramatic. But like the core mechanics were the same. Of land your Bakugan on the gate card, battle, use your ability cards. The difference was the physical one was you had to land it onto the card.
So Yu-Gi-Oh! As a comparison.
Yes.
Easier or more difficult to learn the game from the anime? In Yu-Gi-Oh!, if I watch the anime, I still cannot play the game.
Right. If you watch the anime, you should understand how the game works once you get it on there. It's the learning how to roll the marble. That's the separator between the anime and the game.
Dexterity. So it's kind of a dexterity game.
Yes.
Oh, that's pretty fun. If you're bad at rolling marbles, doesn't matter how much power creep you have.
Exactly.
A true equalizer.
Yes, that was the one way to balance. If Jimmy with $500 every week buys every pack and you're stuck with the original release, if you're better at rolling, tough luck, Jimmy.
All right. So how did this TV show sell me the toy?
All right. So right? You got to sell the toys. The core of it was you had this group of friends that they are all from different countries. The idea was that this was a game that hit everywhere. Like I said, it rained the toys, it rained the cards all over the world. So that was the one thing. It came out during that time where everybody's like, the internet's all new, you know, Reddit's not around yet.
Wait, I think I didn't understand anything about the TV show because I did not realize it was a worldwide sensation.
No, it's like the other, like Yu-Gi-Oh, Pokemon. It's like, this is the thing that the youth is in touch with, you know?
Is this on Earth or is it like Pokemon?
Oh, no, this is on Earth. You're assuming it's on Earth.
Okay, so the main characters, are they all from where? Are they from the same place?
No. So that was the other thing, was like the cool, how they got you in was it was something that brought kids from all over the world, different cultures, different backgrounds, different genders, all that. They all had a shared love of this game.
How did they play against each other?
They just met up.
All right, there you go. Yeah, you heard it here first. Yeah. Your friends all over the world, yeah, just meet up.
Yes.
Come on.
Some of them are from the same city, but they didn't know that. They just assumed they were all international. So they would like meet on the online, and they're like, meet up here. We're playing.
So this is, how old are these kids? What age group is this pointed at?
They're 12.
Okay, so this game's for like 10 to 14.
Yes.
All right, so we got a bunch of 12-year-olds. Let's meet up, international friends.
Yes.
And we're going to play Bakugan.
Yes.
With what are monsters that we found, yeah, when they fell from the sky.
Yes. So in the show, early on, they don't know that they're real things. They just assume that it's like in Yu-Gi-Oh! Where you're just playing the card, something represents it, shows up, and you're battling.
Even if that was true, they were just like, I found this on the street, high-tech nonsense. And it turns out it'd be a pretty fun game to play like marbles.
Yep, that's how they sold it to the kids. They didn't explain it. They were just like, this is just how it is.
You know what? Fair enough. Honestly, if I found some high-tech looking marbles, would I open them up and just play with them? I don't think I would, actually. But 12-year-old Mason, yes, would. 12-year-old, yes, Mason would.
As a 30-year-old, you would definitely say, what? How did, what are we doing? What? We need to study this.
A little bit too old for that gimmick now, but yes, back in the day, young Mason would have loved it, would have been all about that. So we got these kids, they're playing Bakugan when they meet up.
Yes.
How convincing is the show to get me to buy these things?
The interesting thing is they have the world leaderboard rankings, right? So every match is documented, and you go up and down the ladder. So all the main characters, none of them are rank one when it starts. So they're all trying to hit rank one.
Okay. So this is kind of like a Kaiba exists somewhere in the world.
Yeah.
Kaiba's a Yu-Gi-Oh character, for those of you who are not familiar with Yu-Gi-Oh.
Yes, he just wins by having money. It's just like Jimmy earlier.
Money is honestly, many, many card games can be won with money.
Yes, we don't enjoy playing with Jimmys in any card game.
But back on topic. So we've got a leaderboard. So that mean, who made this game? What company is this from?
So in-universe or actual?
I guess actual, because I'm asking,
yeah, right,
is this rank system also in the real world so that kids can be like, hey, I want to go play and record our matches and do something?
No, they didn't have that. Spin Master made this. So okay. Spin Master became a toy company to sell Bakugan.
Okay, so Spin Master is making Bakugan, but they don't actually have, there's no competitive Bakugan circuits.
No, it's a lot of like marketing stuff. So basically, the first couple of years, they would have a world championship, but there was no like qualifiers. There was no, it was basically like, who do we feel is the best?
Okay, so that's kind of cool that they had a world championship though. So anyone who could show up, just you can play.
Pretty much. So like, I guess they had like regional qualifiers, but it was just like show up. It was not like a whole circuit.
Okay, that's pretty cool though. So there is some kind of competition happening.
Yes.
Okay, so to mimic the TV show, some sort of competition. Okay, mm-hmm. I get that. That would make me buy it.
Yes.
I mean, as a kid, watched Yu-Gi-Oh, watched Pokemon, the best Yu-Gi-Oh series or season, mm-hmm, was definitely the Battle City one.
Yes.
And that definitely made me want to play more Yu-Gi-Oh. I was like, oh my gosh, this could be like competitive. I love that. So okay, I can see how that would sell Bakugan. What else? What else are they doing?
It went through a story of understanding that they were living creatures, and they went to their world. And the other thing was the main character ones evolved into new ones. So that's how they got you, was they cycled through all six ones, where all six main characters were main characters to match each type. So that got you in, because you're like, oh, my favorite character has new ones.
Okay. Evolutions.
Yes.
And kind of playing on the fact that they're not pets, but kind of like the Tamagotchi style.
Yes.
I have a living small creature that, in the vein of Pokemon, I can use in very legal battles with each other.
Yes, it's very much the boys' version of Tamagotchi, I think, is what like news media would pitch it as.
Okay. That would get me to buy them. That seems pretty fun. I'm a big fan of Pokemon as a kid, and I think that this would do it too. So, to wrap this up, I'm looking at 10 to 12 total Bakugan in my collection.
Yes.
Probably, I buy a new one when the new series comes out, add it to my little group of three that I'm playing with. Maybe I have a second group of three that I have as like, oh, my friend came over, never played Bakugan, we're going to play together. And I got the gate cards and the abilities to match. Now, we said this whole thing was Gen 1.
Yes.
What made the change? What happened at the end of Gen 1 that finished this generation?
So basically, it's that problem that a lot of narrative anime has, where if you don't have a big enough reach and the story isn't engaging enough, people just fall off over time. Like, nobody's going to jump in the middle of, like, the fourth season of, like, oh, this is so cool, I'm going to go back and go through all this. Because the other thing was, they only sold what was currently airing. So, like, season one, season two, you had to go find them used.
Oh, okay. So, essentially, they were trying to make it so that they are more relatable to a larger audience, because they don't want to box themselves into just the people who are dedicated fans. They need more people buying these Bakugan. Yes. And the way to do that? Reboot.
Yes. But the problem was, the stories weren't as good as the original from the fan base. I enjoyed it, but I don't speak for the majority.
Oh, okay. So this is a personal opinion. Like, we're going to get comments griping about how, no, season one was the worst, and actually season 12 was the best or something.
Something like that, depending on when people jumped in. But yeah.
All right, fair enough. That makes sense. Well, I think you've sold me on Bakugan. I think that it sounds like a fun game. Easy, it's not super in-depth, but maybe they change that later seasons. We don't know. But I think you got me. I think it's a success. I think this TV show was a success. Tell me, did it or did it not succeed in your own view?
Oh, it definitely succeeded. The first year, they sold 9 million. No, they sold $1 billion in the first year.
Oh, my God. Yeah. All right. So not only did this you successfully convince me to buy these, but in real life, these were getting bought. They were getting bought.
Yeah. The pitch to me is it's a fast-paced game that has a lot of replayability just solely based on all the different attributes. You could have the same character, six different versions with six different, because the attribute, it can interact with the card differently. So every person you compete against, different.
Oh, that's super cool. It's very customizable.
Yes.
It's got the little toy aspect. Figurines are fun. Kids love those things. Yes. I mean, I love them. Yes. And, never really grew out of it. Yes. So I definitely can see that being a big push.
Yes.
Well, all right. Well, what are we going to do next week, Jason?
We'll cover Dinosaur King.
Thanks for listening, everybody. Like the video, comment what your favorite Bakugan was, and subscribe. Well, hopefully that was 30 minutes, and if not, it was free.
I mean, they're not paying us anyway.
What?